Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Backlot. We are the Backlot Boys. This is episode 10, Life After Star Wars Land. What's to come outside of Galaxy's Edge? What do you think's to come after that? I can't wait to talk about this.
I mean, right now it's kind of hard to imagine. Everything is so heavy on the Star Wars side, whether it's stuff that's actually there, things that are supposed to be coming, you know, at the end of the year, some hotel changes over the next, you know, year or two. It's really hard to imagine, like, what are they going to do now? Like, there's no focus on anything else. Haunted Mansion's having an anniversary. Soarin's back for a little while, the California version, but nobody's talking about anything else. So it's hard for me to imagine. I know, we're both excited about it, but it's, I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say and your ideas as far as where they're going to put their focus.
Yeah, it's an interesting topic because this Galaxy's Edge land that was created around Star Wars is so different from the rest of the park, from Fantasyland to Frontierland to Toontown, the way the cast members interact, the way the merchandise is sold, the attractions that still haven't even opened, but will that have any influence on the rest of the park? I think it's going to be a great topic. But before we do that, let's jump into the Kingdom Cable.
Breaking news. Hey, there's a lot of stuff going on in the news. If you have Google Alerts and you're checking out everything that's going on with Disneyland right now, it's all Galaxy's Edge all the time. However, there are some other things going on, stuff at the parks, kind of the surrounding area around the parks, generally having to do with what kind of strollers, what kind of wagons, all that kind of stuff. What are you allowed to bring into the park? They're making some changes, whether it has to do with food or child transportation or just transportation of food. Scar, do you have any extra information on that? I remembered it a few weeks ago when we were gonna run this topic before, but we passed that. So I have a feeling it's probably a little more fresh for you.
As with the Westward Ho wagons back in Frontierland in 1955, so are now the wheelchair wagon, not wheelchair, the stroller wagons. So those are now banned from the park.
That's like a radio flyer. It's like those big plastic ones. There's like 9 kids in it, kind of like a limousine of the wagons. Is that the one I'm thinking of?
Yeah, and you got all sorts of other junk you bringing in there. It's outrageous. So yeah, okay. No wagons. They're done. Strollers can be within 31 to 52 inches. So that's new constraints at the entrances to the security. So you know how at Disneyland you don't go through security in Esplanade anymore. You go through security at the Mickey and Friends parking structure or over Harbor Boulevard, which is going to change very soon, and then over at the hotels. So it's changed. So in those areas, there's little spots where they measure strollers. Also, very interesting, you are not allowed to bring your loose ice.
Loose ice. So what are people doing with the ice? Wasn't there something about like dry ice? I thought there was dry ice. They're like, absolutely not with this stuff. You're throwing it at each other and getting, you know, minor burns. But I didn't know about the loose ice. What were people doing with it? It's just on the ground. It's a hazard. People are slipping on it, like the old banana peel thing.
The only thing that I can figure out is one, people like, all done and throw it down on the ground and have people trip and slide. And, you know, that's liability for Disney. The other thing, too, was it was dangerous at water parks, I guess, where people would bring a cooler and they just dump it on the ground when they were done because, I don't know, they're born in a barn.
Sure.
So that's for loose ice, and then dry ice is also banned. Nobody quite remembers this from a lot of things that I've heard when they're wondering why dry ice is gone. Back a few years ago, there was actually a guy who thought he was a jokester, and he put a bunch of dry ice in a box and pretended it was a bomb in Toontown. So no more dry ice. So check that one off now, too. So no loose, no dry, and then smoking. No smoking in Disneyland, California Adventure, or any domestic Disney theme park. So those are gone. Also for Downtown Disney in California, gone too. So the only places to do that is outside of security. So you have to go outside of security because the Esplanade is also now no smoking. So no smoking sections in the park. You got to go out to do that. So
what are we talking about? Like the blacktop out there in the parking lot? Because if you, like you said, if security happens at the Mickey and Friends lot, you got to either do it in your car or do it in the parking lot or something like that. Because where else are you, unless somebody's being sneaky, they're hiding behind the Rainforest Cafe, which I don't know. But I can't imagine that there's too many places to to duck out and take care of that. And that, does that apply to I think that applies to e-cigarettes, vaping, like the Juuls, whatever, all that weird
everything.
Stuff. Everything is kind of wrapped up in there, I think.
Everything's wrapped up. So I guess maybe the only places potentially is Making Friends. I don't know if that's specifically banned, but probably the best bet is Harbor. So maybe center line of the road of Harbor. I don't know. But I think it's a long time coming. It's something that will make people with respiratory issues happy. So
that's something that
happened to the parks that's been wiped out. A lot of new regulations. But what else is going on in the news?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're not here to chime in like with our own personal opinions necessarily on how we feel about those particular things. We're just kind of giving you guys the news. So that'd be up to you. You know, you guys go in the comments or something and say how you feel about that. I'd be interested to know, because there's some curious arguments on both sides. Especially I'm thinking more on the smoking ban. I'm not a smoking guy myself. But I recognize that it's quite a big inconvenience to leave the park while walk all the way out there. People are going to say, I got a problem, and you know they'll definitely have a voice like that. But it's just
thing to do.
It's tricky, and I'd definitely be interested to hear what people have to say. But jumping away from that here for a second, the problem is again, Galaxy's Edge is just taking over everything. In terms of news, you can't even really call it news because it's like up to the minute. You know, there's just constant stuff coming out about Galaxy's Edge. Most of it's reviews, people's opinions, you know, the peanut gallery. But, Soarin' is coming back just for the month of June, I think, the 1st through the 30th. So Soarin' over California, little nostalgia there. People, I don't know. Do you think the orange thing is on? People can still smell the oranges, or was that disabled and they got rid of all those fragrances?
If it's gone, I riot. No, I'm just kidding.
That's critical. That was a huge part.
It's important. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do want to mention one thing. If you were concerned about bringing medication into the park using your ice solutions there, you can bring the little like freezy packets. And there was also a rumor that you could bring loose ice as long as it was like tied in a Ziploc bag, but I wouldn't risk that. Second thing is you can bring medicine and have it cooled or put into a refrigerator at First Aid. And First Aid is down Main Street and to the right next to the Crystal Plaza, I think it's called. Or Plaza Inn. It's over there. So you can have your medicines put in a refrigerator and you can go and take them when you need it. So no problem with loose ice anywhere. You can just pop in there, leave it off, and then go about your Disneyland adventure.
Good deal. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. There are a lot of people that use medications that need to be refrigerated at a certain level. And so in an event like that, you just say something like ADA and they have to kind of comply with it, right? There's no like accompanying paperwork with that kind of thing. It's just...
I don't think that falls under the ADA. That's just Disney being a good guy.
Sure. Good deal. Okay. All right. So that's that. The Lamplight Lounge. How is that thing doing? Have you heard about the Lamplight Lounge? Have people been pretty happy with it? Lamplighter? They're going in. They're enjoying it. There's long lines, or is it just kind of average?
I think when it first opened, it was real popular. People complained about the prices, but other than that, I think it's just done fairly well. Like I haven't heard really anything too much either way. I think people like it for the people who like. That style of food, drink, and stuff along those lines. But I haven't heard any real negative or positive things. It's just been kind of, there's a restaurant. I haven't heard anything, honestly.
Okay. All right. Well, so there, that's interesting, especially what you mentioned about people talking about the price. I mean, when we first talked about, the changes to Paradise Pier over there and what was going to be happening. And there was a very heavy emphasis on how, ornate the theming and all that kind of stuff of the Lamplight Lounge was going to be. But they recently added a weekend brunch option, which I was scoping it out. And, you think about brunch, you're always thinking about pancakes and like all that kind of, breakfast, orange juice flowing and coming out of fountains and, filling up all these funny little champagne glasses and stuff. But, I was looking at the menu. It's not very, it's not pancakey enough to me. You know what I mean? Like, so, but they do have, there's avocado toast, $29. You get it there only. So anyway, they're adding that brunch on there. It's not expensive relative to the restaurant. It's right in line with their other prices. But anyway, there's a weekend brunch. But if you're expecting this, this huge spread of breakfast style food, it's not necessarily that. It's just, I think extended hours and maybe the lights are lower or brighter. I don't know. I don't know much about brunch. Additionally, would you go to that? Would you get the avocado toast? A couple little nibbles?
Nah.
No, okay, he's not interested. So other things, these are, again, these small stuff, you know, Tale of the Lion King is taking place right now at the Palisades stage.
Oh,
seems to be generating quite a crowd. I don't know, how long is that show, do you think? How long is that running?
How long it's going to go for, or how long the show is?
Let's say both. So duration of the show.
Aren't those shows usually like 20, 15 minutes at best? Maybe a little shorter?
Yeah, you know, with the attention spans and everything. So, okay, so we're thinking it's, you know, probably no more than a half an hour. But do you know, so the stint, so this is going to last the rest of the summer or into the fall?
Probably. It's in anticipation of the Lion King live action. So it'll probably last maybe another month or two when the movie comes in. The movie is in theaters, will probably end around the time it goes out of theaters. It looks cool. Lots of cool costumes and stuff.
Yeah, good singing. I was listening to some clips. You know, not to get off the track of parks here, but talking about live action, what are you most excited for? You're most excited for Aladdin or for The Lion King?
That's a hard one. I really like Aladdin, but... Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I've never seen a live action animated movie ever, so...
Well, you've seen Roger Rabbit.
Yeah, but not this new series of ones that have come out in the recent years. I've never seen one of them. So I don't know. I kind of want to see what the deal is with the genie, you know, with...
You can't dog on Will, man. You can't put him down.
Yeah, like, I kind of want to see it.
I think it'll be good.
I'm gonna go with Lion King or Aladdin, but... I don't know. Just because I'm curious to see how that went. And I love the genie. Such a good character.
Absolutely. You know, also in line with that, let's ask one more opinion question over here to you. Music wise, those two movies, and you can pluck little other songs from other movies, Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, whatever. But those two movies, in terms of soundtrack, really nail it for me. Are you a soundtrack wise? So music wise, are you more of the Aladdin soundtrack or are you more about that? More about that Lion King soundtrack, that good Elton John pumping through.
I would say probably Lion King, just because I remember that the most when I was a kid.
Sure, yeah, it's motivational yeah. Soundtrack on that one. The you know, Aladdin a little bit more upbeat, kind of funny, a little joking around. Very good, but okay, all right. So that's the tale of Lion King that's going on at the Palisades stage, and we're making the assumption that it's running through the length that thing is in the theaters.
Yeah,
the movie. So lastly, and this is like, oh man, I feel like these are so cheap. The last one is Ray-Ban. Disney actually did this a while ago. They partnered with Ray-Ban. The pattern on the sunglasses was a little different. I think it was just red, white, and black. It was just Mickey, and it was, you know, kind of this the side view, the side profile of the tri-circle head going, this little smile action.
Yeah, I saw that. Cool.
There's a few more colors that have been put in here, and it's mostly on the arms of the glasses. It's not quite as much on the the eye area. Do you know the sections of sunglasses? What are you supposed to call everything? So you got the front, you know, and then you've got the little arms that go on the sides. I don't know what, if you separate those, like if they have separate names or
there's a bridge somewhere involved. I know there's a bridge.
Well, yeah. We know about the nose, you know, we're assuming that, okay, we'll call that the bridge. It's kind of a more flat top version of the Wayfair. Some might argue that it's exactly the same, but I put mine next to these. They're not the same. They actually had a pair at the airport. Ray-Ban and Disney, they come together, they put together these dope Wayfarers. They're out there for you. You'll check them out when next time you're in the park. These ones are only Downtown Disney, I think, right? I don't think the parks generally carry those.
Yeah, I bet it's only in Downtown Disney or Disney Springs and Disney World.
Yeah, the Sunglass Hut or whatever that place is. So
yeah.
You'll have the option for that. But dude, I hate to say it. That's it. That's all I have for news. All right. So now that we have the news and all that good stuff out of the way, you know, we already said at the beginning of the episode, we're not going to talk about Star Wars Land or Galaxy's Wedge or, you know, whatever the thing is. We're not going to talk about that today. We'll get to all those points in another time. Maybe we won't. We keep pushing it off. What we're actually really going to get into here is what is going to happen to the park now. And some of that is going to be residual because of Star Wars Land, because of Galaxy's Wedge over there. So, Scar, like, what do you think? So first thing first. We've got all these crowds that are pumping in there. People are making reservations to get in. Maybe they're not doing that anymore now that we're into June. But, you know, there's all these crowds, this huge influx or supposed influx that's coming into the park. Allegedly, there's a bunch more people in the parks now. What are they going to do about this? How are they going to handle these crowds?
Well, that's a good point, because a very strange thing has occurred around Disneyland. And that is Galaxy's Edge is packed, but the rest of the park's wait times are like unseasonably low wait times right now. And the reason is people got kind of freaked out. They were told that the park was going to be so crowded. Also, they weren't going to get an opportunity to go into Galaxy's Edge because as of right now, it's still under reservation only, and those reservations are all gone. So if you went to Disneyland now and you cared nothing about Star Wars Land, you would have a great time in the park right now. But June 24th or something along those lines, when the reservation system ends and it is a free-for-all, that is when things are going to get interesting in the parks for crowds for sure. Do you know what happens when the reservation system ends in Galaxy's Edge?
I was just going to ask that. There's a meltdown or something, I guess. I'm not really sure, but from what I've read, what I can see, it's that they're still going to do like the gating, you know, like they're still going to, you know, a certain number of people go in, you know, then they're kind of like clicking one of those little things and how many people come out. I'm sure it won't be that that manual, but isn't it something like that?
As far as I can find, and this is me doing a little bit of looking, is that they're going to create something called boarding groups, and you would use your phone with the Disneyland app, and the Disneyland app
Got to get that app, right? You got to get that app. Everything that I've seen, and again, like I told you, I've been trying to avoid stuff, so I get excited and surprised when I go in there, but it seems like without that app, man, you're missing half the experience.
Yeah, I guess it has like the data pad thing that we could talk about eventually, but you would have your boarding group, and once your time slot has appeared, you would then go towards one of the entrances. So that's Critter Country, Fantasy, or Frontierland entrance. And you would go into the land, and I'm not sure if there's an actual time that, hey, you know, it's 4 hours, you got to get out like it is currently with the wristband reservation system. So I think those are things we'll learn more as time goes on, but yeah. Once you go into the park, it's not like you can just wander into Galaxy's Edge. You would have to use the app and then put you and your party's tickets into, and then you would get a boarding group, and then you could go in when they tell you you can.
How does that work for annual passes? How does that now? So, you know, we didn't talk about it again. This was something that we were going to bring up on the news last time, is that there have been some changes to the annual passport packages, you know, different tiers, things like that. We're not going to bother with all that stuff. You guys look it up online. You can check it out. But how does the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, how does this process, you know, the ticketing or boarding group through the app, how does that work with the passports? Is there limitations?
I don't think so. As long as you're in the park and you scan your ticket, you can go in. If they really wanted to get crazy and limit crowds, they could limit the amount of times an annual passporter could enter the land using those boarding group system.
I mean, maybe like a weekly thing, you know, a little weekly limit. Hey, you get your fourth time in here, you know, kick the can on down to Toontown, you know, like that. I don't know. Maybe something like that, though, you know, just.
Yeah. Rising spires, but you got to get lost. But so that's a thing. Crowd-wise, for people, especially annual passporters entering the park, they have constructed the massive new Toy Story Land or Toy Story parking structure. So that can accommodate like 6,000 something vehicles. They've redone the tram route. It should be opening fairly soon. They also are just now working on a new pedestrian bridge coming from that parking garage over the Downtown Disney self-parking and then into Downtown Disney. So there's this new little elevated bridge that goes through there. So that's something to deal with the crowds. But I think we've talked about this briefly before to manage additional crowding issues, and that is Project Stardust. Not the Death Star, but the redoing of the walkways in Disneyland. And there's some really good things they did, and there's some things that really, really, really didn't look so good. But overall, the whole thing, I think they did a good job, but there is a glaring thing that I have to bring up, and I have to do it right now.
I have a feeling it's got something to do with planters. It's got something to do with trees, something about foliage. I know how you are about all that stuff. But it could be something else. Go ahead and let's hear it. You got to get it off your chest. You got to get a vent. This is the place for it.
Adventureland sign.
Ah.
So what they did was they took out a huge chunk of a planter in some of the water area. And they expanded the entrance from Adventureland to Frontierland. That was that little back alley between the two lands. And they expanded that and made it much wider. So it's good. It's a cleaner way back and forth between that area. But the resulting thing was that they decreased the size of the sign and they took away a lot of the elements that made it unique. Also, you can see a lot of Frontierland from Adventureland, which is unfortunate. It looks like 1955 again, and some trees disappeared. And yeah, they took down the big arched thatched roof that used to go over the Adventureland sign. That little kind of gazebo thing down there that the Indiana Jones line used to go through back in 1995. You know, I get that they took that away, but they didn't add any new elements. Like, if you're going to remove that, you're just removing elements that made the sign unique. Now it feels lacking. It feels like it's missing elements, and it's kind of disappointing.
Yeah, that was that little awning thing. It didn't have like a thatched roof. You could actually walk, but there was no bench. There wasn't like a seating opportunity in there, as far as I know. Mm-mm. Okay.
And it's okay. If they wanted to remove that, they wanted to remove it. It was always something I loved looking at, thinking like, man, back in when Indiana Jones opened, the line used to stretch all the way to here. But
What do you think though? What was the intended purpose of that?
It was just a decoration. Some people said it was for the line itself, but that's incorrect. It's been there for a long, long time. And then the line just went through it. And I always remember that. But yeah, that's
gone.
You know what I did
with that area is it'd be one of those, it was kind of like a limbo position. So it's say you're coming out of Adventureland, you're trying to decide, you're going back to the hotel, take a nap, and you'd kind of pit stop right there. Basically, like that was the pit stop. You'd sit there and you would kind of gaze over at the Tiki Room and you think, hey, if I just go into the Tiki Room, I cool off, I have a Dole Whip, I regain my wits and my strength, you know, and then I can stay at the park. I don't even have to go back for a nap. That was the area where the decision was made. If you're there and you're just feeling like you're just feeling dilapidated, you got to go back to the hotel. but that was like the point of no return. I mean, if you're there, you decide to stick it out, you're going to have a good attitude. You go into the Tiki Room and you recharge your batteries. Otherwise, you head on back to the hotel. That, to me, that's what that was. It was like, okay, I'm going to back over here. I'm going to do some thinking, just soul searching, and then decide what to do from there.
Interesting. That is a reason why they got rid of it, is people would just congregate under it.
Oh, geez. Okay. Well, so blame me for that part. But now, then why did they take away that awesome sign that was up there? Yeah, the Tiki God with like some tusk-looking horn things. There's some fire involved at times. Like, why would they get rid of that?
They put the tusk back on, thankfully. But after that, like even the text for the lettering is smaller. So there's a lot of like dead space in the design. So there's the archway and then there's like just a lot of like dead space. Like the text is really small. Like, I don't know. So it's just something about that's just off and it's disappointing. But other stuff that they did on more of a positive note, the castle, a bit of a stir when they took down the scaffolding around the castle. The spires are brand new, completely rebuilt, laser scanned. So they were like replicas of the original and they are very, very blue. But I'm warming up to it. I'm liking it. So have you seen pictures of the castle, the new color scheme?
No, I have. I mean, I have. Yeah, I've kind of checked it out. For me, it's been tough. Maybe I haven't looked at it on the right monitors. Maybe I've looked at it on my phone while I'm outside in the sun. They didn't seem that dramatic, or you know, it didn't seem high contrast to me. But maybe I was, you know, I might not have been looking at the right photos.
It's a dramatic change. There's a lot of side by side images, and when you see the side by side images, regardless if you don't like the paint, what they did was massive. Like the castle was in poor shape leading up to this renovation. So yeah, maybe some people aren't 100% pleased with the color, but it looks amazing. All the little problems with the castle that's been, you know, accumulating over time have all been fixed. The weird dented spire, you know, when they put the caps on them with the snow every Christmas, one time swung and dented the side of one. The dent's gone. I always saw it.
Hey, what about this? You know, remember those like I don't know if they have these. Don't have the family crest. These are these banners that come down from those light posts, right? That are in those little cutouts along the bridge leading up to the castle.
Yeah.
I think there's like a dragon. There's something is like embroidered on those, right? Those things are super faded. Did they replace those? They have something in there now. Maybe they went away from the dragon.
I don't know.
An octopus on there or something. I don't know, but that seems like something that, I mean, it's like a no-brainer. You're going to replace and kind of, you know, you're going to button up right there too. Because you're dressing the castle in this whole thing, but then you have these faded banners or, you know, whatever. There's definitely an appropriate name for those, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure that got changed out. It looks so good. They also replanted a little pine tree that I didn't know about, but has a really cool backstory. You know, the Imagineer Herbert Ryman, he designed the original artwork for Disneyland, the Seldom.
Are you
the
talking
bankers.
About the pine tree that's like on the left side?
Yeah.
It's kind of tucked. It's by that where the rock kind of gradually turns into the side of the castle there.
Yeah.
Okay. I always thought that was like I thought that was more of like a bonsai tree. What's the story behind that thing?
It, as far as I could tell, I forgot the name of it. It was something like a dwarf something, kind of the species of the tree, but I forgot exactly what it's called. But the story is that Herbert Ryman, the designer of the castle and all, and he was diagnosed with cancer, and he was sad that he wouldn't make it till Christmas. And an Imagineer brought over to his house a little like pine tree that he put by his bed. It was like a little Christmas tree. He turned out he did live until January, and when he passed away, they took that little pine tree and they planted it at Disneyland. But eventually, I guess it had grown up a couple times, and they cut it down. It's just like, come on, guys. You could have moved it, maybe. Anyway, it had been swapped out a couple times, but now they have like an official like tree with a plaque and a whole thing. So it's just a nice little tribute.
So how do you read the plaque? Because isn't that positioned kind of a little bit outside of the area where people are supposed to be going?
It's on the water's edge. So when you look towards the castle, it is like directly below you under the fence.
Oh, okay. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. So that is in the area that I thought. All right. Okay.
Yeah. Herbert Ryman, if you want to look into this esteemed gentleman, he Herbie. Had a crazy life of just adventures, like traveling through East Asia during like 1920s and then living with a circus.
Was he the one that Walt, like... Basically, that guy had the best job in the entire world. Was he the one that Walt had go out there and find like artifacts for rides and like study like what the Mekong Delta was like when they were working on the Jungle Cruise? Maybe I'm thinking of somebody else.
It might have been, but that could have been Herbert Golf too.
So many Herbs back then. Yeah, that was a very common name.
Yeah, but he is a treasure. His artwork's hands down probably the best artwork ever to come out of Imagineering. And
what's your favorite Ryman painting?
Probably his Epcot's. His Epcot paintings are just, man,
dude, it's I don't know level. Why this is too much. Nobody's going to believe this at home. I was going to say the exact same thing. He and now I don't know which Epcot one you're talking about, but he had an Epcot one that was in, remember where this was published. I'm sure you could find it anywhere on the internet, but it was in one of those books that you have, one of these animation books or Imagineering books or what have you. But it had not the Epcot globe that we got, but maybe more, and not the one that we deserved, but a really cool one. And it was super stylized. It almost looked like it had some like kind of like animated qualities to it. And then there's like the clouds, there's like sun coming through, everybody's having a good time. There's like a group of school kids, the monorails in the background.
Sunset orange background.
Yeah, this is the one. We're talking about the same one.
That one and his, that archway that, is it Japanese or Chinese? That red arch.
There's the pagoda.
A really, really cool painting along with that. So yeah, Herbert Ryman, just absolutely excellent. Amazing. But yeah, the castle itself, so if you look at it, what's different is that they've taken the bricks that make up the castle, they get lighter as they go up, so that creates a little more force perspective, and then the spires themselves taper a little bit into a lighter blue, even on the spire itself. So eventually, at the very top, they're considerably lighter than the turrets down at the bottom. And the other change that they made was the largest of the spire in the center of the castle. It's a little bit off in color, so it's a little bit, it's actually a little purple. It's a little more atmosphere put into it, so it just adds like a little extra perspective to the castle to make it look a little bigger. It's the smallest castle, so a couple little changes like that to it. I think it's good. I appreciate all the neat details that they've added to the castle.
All right, fair enough. I hate to do this. I pulled up some pictures. I'm looking at the pictures of the castle right now. This is absurd. The ones that I had seen before obviously were not what I thought they were. I think I was actually just imagining that screen that they had put up so nobody could see it. I think that's all I'd seen. These are incredible. So I'll hello. Yeah, this is going to be great. I can't wait to see these in person.
And for everyone who is kind of concerned about how dark those spires are, they're gonna fade super quick. That's like they're too saturated. But I know that within a year they're gonna be like 10% less saturated than they were, and it'll like fall into like a perfect ground.
Because this is like, you know, somebody takes a picture of the castle. They go into one of these photo editing apps on their phone. They either put their finger on the saturation, they mess around with the hue, or they just take contrast and they crank it all the way up. That's pretty much what it looks like right now. But yeah, like you're saying, it'll fade. It'll get a little bit more appropriate here soon. But dude, this is wild. This is wild. I like this a lot.
So those are the two big Stardust changes that were made.
I did have one comment. If you don't mind, you had mentioned, you didn't say dwarfism, but you were talking about a dwarf tree, a small tree.
Yeah.
But speaking of dwarfism, Grumpy Cat, aka Tartar Sauce, his name is Tartar Sauce. I'm sure that you saw this in the news. But what some people probably didn't see is years ago, Grumpy Cat is invited to Disneyland. He parades himself all around. He's walking around on different things. The seven dwarfs are around there. I don't think Pluto got involved. I don't think they didn't want to scare him. But, you know, the dwarfs are around and Snow White's around and everything. And he was enjoying himself in his grumpiest ways around the castle. Unfortunately, it just came to mind. But, a few weeks ago, he passed along. But, this would be one. I hope there's like one of his whiskers or something is kind of floating around in the water now. Because I think Grumpy Cat was one of the cutest cats I've ever seen in my whole life there. And so, that reminded me of him. And, I'm sure he and Herb are having a good time somewhere. So anyway, carrying on.
Yeah, poor Grumpy Cat. That's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, Tartar Sauce.
So the I'm trying to think of like the other things that we haven't talked about. So we talked about New Orleans Square. They removed a ton of the planters and the old kind of attempt at making some kind of stadium standing areas for Fantasmic. A lot of those were removed. Dumbo's queue was...
You talked about that to the blue in the face, you know.
Yeah, so yeah, Dumbo, Small World, all of those. Some of the changes that they did make over in Tomorrowland was they shrunk a few planters and made a lot more areas for strollers. So those are kind of the last changes they made in this project to widen and make as much area as possible for people to get around in the parks, which is needed. The only thing I ever said that was bad was the Adventureland sign. So that's good for crowds. So I think the crowds are going to do a little bit better with the parking structure and now with these wider paths. But now that Star Wars Land is open, this changes the park forever. The park will never be the same. You have an area in the park where cast members don't acknowledge anything but the land that they're in. And one of the biggest questions I have is you have a land where cast members won't acknowledge the fireworks. They'll be like, oh, there's a battle in the sky. Or if somebody asks them for a food or something like that, they say, I don't know what this kind of food is. But then you say you're in Frontierland and a cast member is standing there and you go, hey, can I find a place to charge my iPhone? They're like, yeah, iPhone charging just around the corner. How is that? Are they eventually just going to get rid of that style in Galaxy's Edge, that whole cast member theming, is that going to go away? Or is that going to eventually come into the park? Because I see it as some weird like contrast between the two.
What do you want? I mean, do you want to see like, eventually they're going to just dial it back a little bit in terms of what's going on over in Galaxy's Edge right now? Are they going to, they're going to start like, okay, you know, kind of humdrum, you know, they'll get used to it and it pretty much gets kind of robotic or monotonous after a while or just kind of mundane. Do you want to see like a balance of the two, or do you want it to be just like super hyped and super themed and have that carry over and everybody in Frontierland's like that? And, you know, you pull out a phone and they grab it from you and throw it in the river and say that it's, you know, witchcraft or something. Like, you know, what would you prefer?
I would prefer the hyper themed design.
Sure.
But it also comes back to the thing that I've struggled with recently is that do you say, just for instance, as a cast member, acknowledge that you're in Disneyland? And you're in this kind of magical place with all these different themes going around? Or do you acknowledge it as I just live in Frontierland and have no idea what's outside of Frontierland?
I kind of like that. You know, I remember, and I brought this up on the podcast before, I've talked about it in forums, you know, but I remember one time I've seen this a couple times, but I remember one time being in the line for Space Mountain. Can't remember if you were there with me. I don't think so. I think it's a little later in the game. I'm in the line. I look down over by the queue and there is a girl. She is dressed in the Haunted Mansion apparel and she's just flirting away with one of these Space Mountain guys. And I was just like, hey, you know, flirt all day if you want. I don't care about that. But dude, it looked so weird seeing this like gothic green and, you know, green and black kind of candy striped outfit with the frilly things, the, what do you call those? You know, it's like a
poofs,
doily kind of things doilies. Coming out from everywhere. You know, you that outfit can't be there. That can't be
absolutely
space mountain.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? That's a space station. Get out of here. Not a protective suit. And so it just, that seems so weird to me. And that's not even, you know, heavy theming. That's just like what, and first of all, Tomorrowland, what theme is that anyway? But it just, again, like I said, just, it was too much out of place. So I want people to be entrenched, you know, I want them to, you know, I want them to do that. I want to get in the whole thing, but I have, you know, we haven't been to Galaxy's Edge. Maybe it's annoying. Maybe after a while it's like, geez, buddy, I'm trying to find a charger at least. Come on, you know, like, but I don't know. I don't know what that's like.
Yeah. It's something that I've continued to struggle with recently, is which is better, is that like hyper theming, or you acknowledge you're in a kingdom of magic and there's all sorts of different things going on. It's and you also have to operationally run a park. Tony Baxter, the good Tony, mentioned this in a podcast a while back. He was like, oh, it's just silly them like taking down signage that's inappropriate for like a theme, like it might clash with the theme of the land. Like, that was foreshadowing Galaxy's Edge, because if you want to get on these rides, there is no signage. It's really interesting. Same with Pandora. They do not have signage up into the attractions. There's like a small little sign that might say a wait time for standby or fast pass, but there's no like giant sign, say, take for instance, like Finding Nemo Submarine Lagoon. You know, it's got this giant submarine with Finding Nemo written on it, partnered with Pixar. You know, all that stuff is not in these recent lands, and I kind of like it.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice not to see, yeah, all that overlap. You know, maybe what they do is they have a little bit of a blending of the different themes, like on the borders, you know, like the borderlands that are a little bit between the two parks, or between the, you know, the different lands. You know, for something like Toontown and Fantasyland, like that's a classic spillover. But where you have like Tomorrowland, you know, mixing up with Main Street, maybe you do something. And again, you know, they try. I sometimes like to think that rusty kind of color scheme and, you know, like meteor type thing that they did with the Tomorrowland there for a little while in the late 90s, that's almost like kind of steampunky, which it actually does go well, pretty well with like a Victorian or more of a, you know, like the Main Street kind of theme going on over there. But I would think, you know, let it blend a little bit on those borders. But otherwise, man, like it just needs to be really, really siloed. That's what's fun for me. I don't know. That's just, hey, opinions, you know. But
yeah, I think so, too. Now, with Galaxy's Edge, I think an important thing fairly soon is to have something else to pull those crowds away, because you don't want like 90% of your audience going to one side of the park. So where do they start expanding the park to? The Disneyland is really densely packed. There is basically more attractions in Disneyland and California Adventure than there is in the entirety of Disney World. If you count the attractions out, there is legitimately more attractions in this densely packed space than there are in the entire Disney World. So where would you look towards Disneyland and find if there's an attraction, if there's a piece of land that you would remove? What do you think? Even the viewers out there, like, where would you go?
Where would you go? I'm kind of interested to hear what the viewers would say. You know, it's tricky. So, I mean, they're surrounded by, you know, Harbor Boulevard. They've got some major, major, you know, thoroughfares that surround the park. It's not like Disney World, where it's like, you know, the boundary is way to the outside of everything. And you can add a whole land. You can add, you know, 10 lands, you know, it's like Oprah handing out lands to everybody. It's not like that at Disneyland. They're tight for space. And so to me, like the first thing that I think of is like, do they need all those, you know, cast buildings in the back, you know, like, right behind Toontown, right behind, you know, some of the, I guess they'd be some of the show or maintenance buildings, you know. And actually Galaxy's Edge really runs on that edge, right on that one road there that's right before the buildings. But I would think that, yeah, dude, knock out some of those buildings, you know, they could take care of that stuff somewhere else. Do they need to have a credit union on site, you know, take that, put that somewhere else, and maybe start putting some stuff back there, or start moving, go underground. I don't know. There's not a lot of space. There's really not a lot of space. I mean, it'd be tricky. I mean, I think maybe do something different on Tom Sawyer's Island. Maybe throw something else out there. But otherwise, and, you know, Tomorrowland is a lot of wasted space. you know, maybe something kind of like that. And think about, dude, I think one of the biggest things is that whole People Mover track, Autopia, you know, subs, that area. And that's a big thing of contention, right? You love the subs. I love the subs. You know, I love the old subs. I enjoy the new subs. But there comes a time. Comes a time in every park's life. Sometimes you got to get a wrecking ball crane out there. Just start swinging it. Because there's some stuff out there that is just like, man, what are we doing? This is Tomorrowland, and there's gas-powered cars. Are you out of your minds? So I don't know. What do you do? My two cents is like maybe do some work with that backstage area behind Toontown, behind Galaxy's Edge. Otherwise, I think you just start bringing those wrecking balls, start bringing in those bulldozers right into Tomorrowland, right into that kind of that northeast corner of the park.
I want to get controversial, and I'm going to say that that area of the park with the Autopia, the submarines, and the monorail need to be repurposed. I love the submarines and I love the lagoon. That whole area is like such Disney. Like it's just that's what makes Disney so unique is the submarines with the Matterhorn and things like that. But
it's that's a nostalgia heavy area for me. And so that's why it's tough for me to say that, you know, and I said that and now I'd probably back up a little bit on, you know, being so bold about it or cavalier about knocking that stuff out. But repurpose is definitely a better way to put it. But man, I have such fun memories of wandering around back there when there wasn't necessarily a huge thing, when they didn't feel like they had to pack everything in so tight, you know, where there was a couple little sections of even the Disneyland park, even the park down there, some sections where you could actually walk by and kind of enjoy some ambiance without everybody crashing into you and running you over, you know.
Get rid of the Autopia.
Yeah, get that out of there. It's hard to press the pedal. It's exhausting. People are crashing into you from the back. Smell alone, you know, people are passing out from that.
So I would, this is what I would do. Is, and this is what I've said for a very long time. There was even a rumor way back in the day that this area would be renovated out and there was going to be like a mermaid ride there. But, you know, the mermaid, of course, eventually went into California Adventure. And a few other rides have been, mentioned to take that motorboat cruise Autopia area. You remove the Autopia. The Autopia can be repurposed. I have an idea for that. Don't worry, Autopia fans. And then the submarine lagoon, what do you do with that? That's the biggest challenge because the Autopia and the submarines are both intertwined because the Autopia sits on the submarine lagoon show building. So you can't just build some gigantic structure on top of that show building, but you can, you know, just have like a small ride on there. So I would say that maybe the submarines have time has come. And I think in that area, you could fit at least two large themed dark rides in that area. Maybe the Beauty and the Beast ride that they're building in Tokyo, which is just incredible. They're building a lot of like Frozen rides, I think could be kind of cool. They build a castle, you know, Elsa does her thing. It would fit in a little bit with the Matterhorn as long as they don't touch the Matterhorn outside of just build that near it. I think it would give it more theme. Also moving over the road there a little bit is the Fantasyland Theater. That's gone. That's a ripe for removal. And build something like really cool in that spot. That's my opinion. I would remove the Fantasyland Theater and I would build, ideally, I would put in some kind of a villains attraction, but maybe they don't want to go that far. That's another spot for, you know, an Elsa, Beauty and the Beast type attraction for Fantasyland. And that helps kind of bring some of the crowds away from Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. You know, and that's. It's tough with Autopia, man. I just thought of something. So like I'm backtracking a little bit on my idea of just gutting that one. Now the lagoon, the subs, I'm with you on what you're saying. And originally what I was thinking was, because didn't they temporarily close the Speedway in Disney World when they were doing some construction? I don't know. I think it was for Tron. They closed something.
Maybe they closed the train. It's back open, but I believe it is slightly shorter. Or they've kind of like moved some of it around, but I do believe it's like slightly shorter than it was before, but it's basically the same.
So, and yeah, I knew that they didn't close it all the way, but do you think during that time when it was closed, like everybody was just, you know, people were running home crying, they walk into the park, they see it's closed and they head right back to the car?
Nope.
You know, like my guess is that it wasn't missed too terribly, you know, but then I also think about this, like when you're a young go-hard, all you want to do is drive. And I think adults, like, dude, we easily forget about this stuff, right? Like, we're just like, oh, yeah, driving, dude. Oh, the last thing I want to do is get behind the wheel, press on a gas pedal while I'm supposed to be enjoying the sights and sounds of Captain Rex from the cockpit, you know? But, and that's not an option anymore anyway, but he's a DJ now, I guess, different endeavors. But The whole thing with the cars is, man, that's a huge highlight for kids. And I, you know, knowing that, you know, I'm hoping to meet you guys in Disneyland with Dane this at the end of the summer or the fall or whenever we decide to do this, he's going to go straight nuts for those. And so I'd hate for that to be one of those things that he knows about, and then all of a sudden it's gone, or like doesn't get to experience. Because man, I mean, you remember getting in there, you like to drive around, stuff like that. But it's a cool attraction, but man, that thing is dated. The concept is dated.
I liked it. Never was crazy about it, but I liked it. It was good. Sure. You get rid of that. It takes up too much space. You could put it, you know, I know this probably would never happen, but you could put it on the People Mover track or redesigned People Mover track system. So you have these Zootopia cars that could like drive down the center of Tomorrowland as if it was a highway in the sky. I think you wouldn't be able to get as many vehicles on there as you could the original Autopia track would be removed. So maybe you build up the vehicles. They have more seats, things like that. Maybe there's 2-3 rows you can fit more.
But then you don't have an individual driver anymore. Well, you know, each person is not, you know, out there doing their thing. But to be fair, you know, as you know, there's a good chance that as Dane gets to be the age to start driving, you know, he might not even be allowed to drive. Autonomy only, you know, like yeah. I don't know. So that's another good point. So I see what you're saying. It takes away the, you know, the individual, you know, piloting experience out of there. But you know, we all kind of pretend like we're driving in cars. I'm sitting in the back and I'm pretending like I'm driving that car over in Cars Land Radiator Springs Racers. So maybe that's not necessary.
So I think that if Disney wants to increase the capacity of the park, the Autopia is not an attraction that increases the capacity of the park. And no. I think that that's a huge chunk of land that can be repurposed. You know, even if they want to save this area, continue it a few more years, I do think eventually this area will be repurposed. The Fantasyland Theater is an ideal location for another attraction in that area for a complete repurpose. There is another place that I found a while back. This is a place that I think would be a really cool thing. This probably could never happen, but you remove the New Orleans train station and there is room behind there. Some of these buildings would have to be removed, but it's sandwiched in between Pirates of the Caribbean and the Haunted Mansion. There is Imagineering's back there. There's some different backstage buildings back there, but there is a giant chunk of land for another attraction. I'd love to see some kind of like New Orleans black magic style attraction. I think it would just be really cool. And that's a little bit like Princess and the Frog, the villain. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That'd be so cool.
Is that what you were thinking? You're thinking something Princess and the Frog related or just like that theme? So it doesn't line up with the story of that show. It might not have the characters from it, but like that idea.
Yes.
Voodoo thing.
Something voodoo related in that area would be just really, really cool. And I believe his name is Dr. Facilier, something along those lines from that movie. I forgot. I've only seen it once, but that guy was, I feel like, underused. He was such a cool villain.
He was scary, man. He had a lot of cool like enunciation with face. He was like Jafar, but like more believable, but also more like maybe more sinister. Yeah, because he like pretended to be cool. He was also like that guy from, he was like a blend of like Jafar and then the guy from Coco. You know, that ended up being a bad dude, but you thought he was, you know what I mean? Doesn't that kind of see, he's like a hybrid of those two.
Yeah. See, this idea I've had since 2008 is remove that station and then build like, you know, like the shotgun style houses, those New Orleans houses all the way across.
Long skinny ones.
Or maybe like row houses, you know, build them across there. And then maybe like one of them was like different from the rest. That was the voodoo house or something that you went into. I think it would have been cool.
Like that.
But anyway,
is that a walkthrough or is that, are you on some kind of ride vehicle?
It was a vehicle. I need to put more time into the actual design of it. But the thing was, it might not happen because I would have put the Frontierland station over by, I would have moved that station over to Big Thunder Mountain, which is impractical now with Galaxy's Edge making that huge U shape in the track. So that's impractical. And then originally I would have removed the Fantasyland station and then used that area for more expansion for rides in Fantasyland. So I would have kind of like moved some of the stations around a little bit, but some of that's not practical in today's time because of Galaxy's Edge. But that area could still be in some way used behind that station for an attraction, because I think it's like a perfect area. There's a ton of room, and New Orleans would just be ripe for an attraction like that. It'd be so cool.
Well, what if you put the train station, what if you move that back? And I'm not looking at a map or anything right now, but what if you moved it back, you know, like somewhere in Critter Country? I know that it always looks to me like it's really steep back there by Pooh Corner. I know that that's just, you know, kind of a forced perspective kind of thing that they have going on. But what if it was a Critter Country station and you squeezed at least part of the show building or part of this area in between the, you know, the Pirates and the Haunted Mansion show building? You operated that ride right there. I mean, I don't know if there's even enough room. Like,
yeah,
it seems like that's very tight. Like you said, there's already a building there. Like right behind there, but I mean, it'd be cool. I just don't know if it would be able to be a very robust attraction, but maybe, you know, or maybe it can't be a robust ride, but it's kind of a cool attraction. It's hard for me to figure out what that exactly would be, but.
Yeah, there could definitely be, and I would make it like a hanging style, like Peter Pan. I think that's an underutilized ride system.
Okay, they could fit that in. They could fit that in then. Okay, so you're thinking more along that line, not necessarily a Z ticket, as they say.
Yeah, so something like that, I think, could be a fun little new expansion area with a unique attraction. As for it being built in Critter Country, I think the train has to do like a huge buildup of speed to get up over the new trestle that's in Rivers of America. So, like I said, Galaxy's Edge just changes everything. But yeah, those are some possible ideas for changes. And then what about Tomorrowland? Star Tours, Buzz Lightyear, Launch Bay, which was the former Carousel/America Sings show building, which is now Galaxy's Edge's kind of like merchandise and wristband check-in area. There's a ton of stuff in Tomorrowland that could be swapped out. What are your thoughts on Tomorrowland? I miss prior to 1998's Tomorrowland. I miss that style.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. You know, I mean, I think obviously the, you know, the whole era of invention, horrible waste. You know, all the tracks for People Mover. What are they doing with that? Is it more expensive to take it out, put something else on there? I mean, we talked about Rocket, right? You talked about Rocket Rods in one of your gaming streams recently here. You dogged on it a little bit. But, you know, like there's a lot of show buildings. There's so much stuff in here that's not being used. You know, you've got like the, not the Star Trader, but you've got the old Starcade that was sitting above. They use it for some event space. Nobody's getting, you know, people are not getting married up there. They do something with that. You know, I don't even know if Star Tours stays. Didn't we talk about a potential expiration on that? How long is that going to last when you have a land just, you know, right across the way that's just hammering that theme home?
That's, you know, how does that stay? Great question. And I think, I do believe it'll last another 5 years before it'll be considered for removal. The only reason that I would be sad to see it go would be that it's the only Disney attraction that is set in the old Star Wars universe. So, you know, the Imperial, the Rebels, you know, you got C-3PO hanging out, whereas Galaxy's Edge, you know, it's really based on some of the newer movies and some like unique characters. So it is kind of fun still to see, you know, some of the older
The old homeboys.
Yeah, it would be sad to see some of them go. Admiral Akbar, you know, hanging up in the security area.
Sure enough. You're right. Okay. I'm not saying I want to see it thrown away. I'm just saying like these are some ideas because there's a tremendous amount of real estate that's being underutilized over there.
I wanted to see it go until I remembered that. And I'm like, yeah. Kind of would miss that. But it's also kind of strange that there is attraction over here when you have a giant land over there with arguably one of the best rides ever created when it does open eventually, Rise of the Resistance. But I think that this area could have a complete redo. Get rid of the People Mover track. You take the rockets, you put them back in their rightful spot, back on top of the Astro Orbiter's location. You know, put that back in the center of the land. You get rid of the carousel building. Maybe you build Tron there somehow, but the show building there is so small. I don't know if it could hold that large of an attraction.
Are you talking about the same Tron attraction that's going to go into Florida here right now?
Yeah.
Ooh, that'd be so cool if that were back there. But like you just said, I mean, I don't know. Is the space available?
Logistics is a tough one for that because that area. But then could you think of Tron in a different way? Could you design it to be more of an outdoor attraction that went throughout the land? I think that would be really, really cool. There's a lot of room in there. Like maybe it's time for Buzz Lightyear to
I
move
mean,
on.
it's such a goofy ride. That one I could have no problem with it never coming back.
I don't. I like going on this attraction, but it's a bit outdated when you compare it to Midway Mania across the way. And I think it's good real estate for another unique attraction that is not Toy Story, whereas Toy Story is already represented through Midway Mania. And this could be like a prime location for maybe like a Wall-E themed attraction or something that is more futuristic. Now,
I'd like to see that. I'd like to see Wall-E come in here. You know, the Tomorrowland of, and maybe this concept is not something that really works and it wouldn't pull the crowds, but it'd be nice to see something that has just even the tiniest educational component. You know, I know that's what Epcot was all about. I know.
I got something for you.
Way out of the box. But, you know, that would be a nice use of that space at Old Circle Vision Theater. You put some kind of Wall-E situation in there. It could be a dark ride. It could be, you know, however you want to set it up. But I talked about that Wall-E attraction in like the first or second, third episode that we did. There's a lot more involvement in that. There's no budget for that. But I mean, just something else in here because, I would just like to see something that's teaching somebody something. You know, it's not sponsored by, you know, the evil corporations like Monsanto. It's not about that. It's just talking about, hey, you know, pick up the trash and, you know, and don't drink, you know, so much the pops, you know, the soda pops, the Cokes, Sprites, 7-Ups.
Magic Eye Theater. We're redoing it here. That is now... I had this great idea a long time ago. It was like 2016. It was after I watched Neil deGrasse Tyson's Cosmos series.
Okay.
You get the man in here, you redo the theater so that it has the screens in the front, and then on the sides and above you, those are also screens. So you're in this spaceship of your imagination. I think that's what they called it. And that is literally what the theater turns into. You have the walls on both sides, right? Can turn into screens. So maybe this particular show, maybe there's 10 different shows. One of them is going to see the photosynthesis of plants or something. You travel through there and you got Neil and his voice, you know, everybody loves, and he's going on about it, getting everybody jazzed. The kids are getting crazy, and you're cruising through this plant, and you can see it above you into the sides. Or maybe you go off into the cosmos and you're flying by planets and Jupiter's rings, and oh, it would just be so cool. Like, if the shows were unique, if there was like five, maybe just like five different shows, so there was always something different when you went onto it. But then, you know, the whole theater opens up as if you're like completely surrounded by it. That's possible, like screens all the way across both ends of it, above you.
What are you sitting in? How are people arranged? Like, how do you see that? How do you picture that?
I think sitting in chairs. So you'd be sitting like in like a normal theater, but... that's kind of how it would start out. And then you realize like it's way more where the theater like comes alive. I don't know. Maybe we can even get an animatronic Tyson in there to add a little more to it.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be great. Yeah. Cause he'd be on the screen. He'd introduce something, but you know, he goes off there and people start taking a nap. You know, that would be really, I like that. So, I mean, I didn't watch a ton of the show, but yeah, you're sitting there and is it kind of moving around you, or does maybe your chair moves, you know, maybe it follows some kind of path on there and not, doesn't get anybody dizzy. You know, there's some warnings with the signs. They have those at the beginning of the ride, but like, it just shows you going through, you know, different parts of the, you know, the Virgo supercluster and all that kind of stuff. That would be real. I think, and hey, who did the composition for that music composition? Nobody other than Alan Silvestri. So you get his music in there, you're pumping it out. You got an animatronic of DeGrasse. Maybe it's when he used to wear those tank tops, the Beef Castle, you know, that guy was buff. So you get him in there doing that. And that brings in a different crowd now. And that would be a really nice, that'd be a great attraction.
Yeah. And it would be educational, entertaining. Yeah. So I think that would be a really fun attraction for that area. They could throw it in Epcot, you know, and get the synergy going. They love that.
Yeah, forget about Wall-E. You know, I like that. Wall-E's a good one. I'm not throwing him out. I'm joking. But that idea that you just had right there, I mean, how hard would it be to get a little, you know, a little joint project, like you said, a little synergy going on that and put something together?
Yeah.
Has there ever been talks of that, or is this just like right out of the scar gate? Like
right out of
the
scar gate. Right out of it.
All right.
But it would be fun. I think it would be cool. I think that would be a neat thing. And also, if they could do something Tron, maybe it's not a full-on roller coaster like Shanghai Magic Kingdom, but like maybe that kind of a style that kind of like just cruises through Tomorrowland above. Like maybe you have the overhangs that they have in Shanghai that light up as the car moves through. You have that above the track, and it's more of like rocket rods, but built on, you know, roller coaster tracks, so it's sustainable and not going to break and wear out and all that stuff that rocket rods had happened to it. I think that'd be like super, super cool if this attraction's just soaring through Tomorrowland, uniquely lit up with LEDs. You know, it's popular. Everyone loves an LED.
Mm-hmm. You know what would be cool? And I don't want to dial back here right away after you just brought up this other cool idea here, but Cosmos did have, and I think they announced this, you know, last, did they? Maybe they announced it like a year ago, but you know, they're doing this other one, Possible Worlds. That's not out yet, is it?
No, it's not.
So it could be, you know, they get this all set up and it's like, you know, they start promoting, they either promote the ride with the show or they promote the show with the ride, something like that. You know, that could be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool. So yeah, those are areas that we can maybe see some new attractions added here or there. A lot of these are very unique attractions that we would really like. You know, Disney these days are very focused on IP. So I think these are interesting ideas, but I'm also curious to see what the viewers want to see in terms of these attractions. But another unique thing about Star Wars Land and how this will affect the rest of the park is dining. So Oga's Cantina, the very atmospheric heavy scene that goes on in there, and also the lightsaber building, the droid building. So these are like merchandise opportunities, but they're heavily themed. And could we see something of that kind in New Orleans or Tomorrowland or Toontown, where there's some other kind of like merchandise item that you could have like a whole show built around that you know, you purchase it, you go through this whole show, the whole thing. Where else could we see that happen in the park, do you think? Or even if it will happen?
I don't know. I mean, I could see, I feel like I could see that in Frontierland. You know, maybe we've all but passed like the days where people are even remotely interested in the Old West. But with Thunder Mountain there, with the store, you know, all those little storefronts that are kind of along like the Rancho, you know, the Rancho restaurants over there, that little central plaza where they get all wild around Day of the Dead. You know, I could see that being something that's fairly immersive. You talked about, you know, New Orleans with the voodoo thing. If they were to add another thing to kind of tie in over there, I think that potentially that could make it pretty neat. But dude, my favorite land in the whole park, Adventureland, I think you could get pretty wild with that. But you might have to make some changes to something. You know, I mean, the area has, you know, it's got two rides. So Either something else gets added in there, something gets updated. And personally, between the two things, Indiana Jones and Jungle Cruise, I don't think there's really much I'd like to see them do differently with those.
No.
But, I mean, you could get more immersive with walk-around characters. You could, you know, some of those restaurants could all of a sudden get a little bit wild. Like, for instance, the Bengal Barbecue. You know, like, I don't know. You know, the sign is so cool, but the food and everything else is really underwhelming, you know, as compared to the you know, the artistry behind putting the facade and stuff up for this restaurant. So I think there's a lot that could be done over there, you know. But yeah, I don't know. It's tough because what I've seen with Galaxy's Edge, I've never seen anywhere else before. And so right now it's really hard to picture the rest of these lands even, you know, remotely measuring up to that, especially because Star Wars is so hype right now. So how are you going to all of a sudden get a whole bunch of people to care about, you know, Davy Crockett again?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I guess they would almost have to. That's the thing about the IP. You brought it up. But like, it looks like you would almost have to. A movie needs to drop or something needs to come out that gets somebody excited about either a particular era or a character or, you know, a setting, some kind of region or whatever. Something needs to happen. An era, a setting, or a character that everybody gets behind. And then you somehow implant that, or, you know, yeah, you implement that into one of these regions, and then you build that theme around it. This is just completely off the top of my head, but I think that's the way that you get people interested.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough because you hear them talk a lot about IP now. And
it doesn't have to be Marvel. It doesn't have to be something like that. They can create it. I'm just saying there needs to be something, I feel like, outside of the theme park that is about Adventureland, or, you know, and I know there's that Jungle Cruise thing with The Rock, but there needs to be something outside of the park, whether it's a movie or a TV show or some miniseries, something documentary, something like that, that gets somebody really, really wild about it. And then they start teasing about the concept, and then it won't be Iger, but, you know, somebody gets on there and they address either the shareholders or they address at D23, and they say they come out sneaky, you know, and funny and a little coy smile or whatever. And then they start alluding to it, and then it turns into this big thing. But it's got to start somewhere. It doesn't have to be existing IP. It doesn't have to be bought IP, something that they got from Fox. But it has to touch people somewhere else besides just the park. That's how you're going to get people in there, in my opinion.
Yeah. And another thing too is some merchandise, but what about like themed dining? So more like Bogus Cantina just sets a new bar, or Ronto's Roasters, or any of those new restaurants are so heavily themed in Galaxy's Edge. Could we see something like that appear in Tomorrowland or Fantasyland? I've had two ideas for highly themed eateries similar to the things in Galaxy's Edge. One of them has been something I've wanted to do for a very long time, was a Seven Dwarfs themed restaurant. So you enter through kind of a courtyard entrance, kind of like you're exiting the castle. So say you replaced Red Rose Tavern, which was former the Village House, and you make that like kind of like a castle wall area. You're kind of like exiting and you go into a forest, and that's the restaurant. Inside, you have kind of the main areas, kind of the forest, and then an off area. Maybe there's some seating for a mine. So maybe there's some places to eat there. And then maybe the kitchens are maybe inside of the dwarfs' houses. So I think like that could be another, that could be an opportunity to change a restaurant that is relatively plain. You know, it's got decent theming, but you could take it way up a notch and make it like a really immersive themed restaurant. This would probably be more of a table service. So you sit down, the waiter comes, does its thing, instead of more a counter service as it is today. But that's an opportunity to make another highly themed restaurant in the park. Another place could be the former Star Trader. You can make it into kind of a space station-ish thing that's very similar to what they're maybe doing in Epcot with the space station restaurant. So like they could take that technology and stuff like that and bring it to Tomorrowland, where you are dining in a space station above the Earth and these giant windows looking down on it like they're doing there. I think that could be a really cool thing. Just take the idea that they have at Epcot and implant it into Disneyland here. I think could be really fantastic. Now, the reason I bring that up is that Alien Pizza Planet, I don't think is destined for this world for very long. And that
it's dried up.
That's where I would put it. Now, that used to be Red Rockets Pizza. It was rethemed to Alien Pizza Planet, I think, to try to infuse a little more energy into it. But unfortunately, people don't seem to really enjoy the food there super much. So I think
it's all bread. It's like there's a little bit of cheese on it, you know, a tiny amount of sauce. It's all bread. It's a bread pizza. How in the world are you putting Snow White over there?
No, that's Tomorrowland. That's where the space restaurant would go. They're building in Epcot.
The space restaurant. Okay.
Yeah. So those are like two areas where you could put these highly immersive themed restaurants into the park. And you have Tomorrowland Terrace, which is still, you know, a reasonable restaurant. You can go up there, walk up, get your stuff. But it seems repetitive to have two walk-up restaurants in the same land. So one of them becomes a slightly more immersive themed restaurant, if that's what you choose. Or if you want something way more casual and quick and cheaper, you have Tomorrowland Terrace ready to roll.
Okay, I like it. And so you're talking, so to kind of go back to the Village House, you're saying that, you know, you kind of talked like a little bit about it. The dwarves are around and their houses are involved. What about my old lady? What about the witch? Where is she going to be in there?
Oh, you know, I don't know. Where would you put her?
I put her up in one of those little towers, because there's a lot of those little windows, you know, as you're walking up, there's a whole bunch of those. So first of all, that's already played out over there on, you know, in front, over there, over by, you know, Snow White's, you know, the Scary Adventures or Daring Journey, whatever it is over there. But she's the queen over there. Mm-hmm. You come over here, and maybe she is the hag version.
Oh,
and maybe you don't
cool.
see much. You don't see much. You see she's got the hood, just like all cloaked out, you know. But you just kind of see the curve of that lumpy old nose. maybe the chin's sticking out, maybe just, you know, something. So it's there, it's obvious, you know, it's not too hard, you know, for somebody to spot them, but she's not like looking head on, you know, it's like something's up there. It's maybe you see part of Snow White, or, and then you see, so, you know, there's a couple of those towers. There's one that has like a clock on it, and that's more on the, that's more to the far right, but to the left, to the left of the main entrance, I think they have, you know, a few of those windows. So it could be kind of like a progression by window. You know, you kind of see like Snow White's over here, and then you know that there's an interaction. They're looking, they're talking to each other. Somehow they wound up there. And then there could be a slight continuation of that once you get inside, or something like that, or maybe not. Maybe, you know, you don't have to tell the whole story. You should tease them here a little bit right here. And then, you know, who knows what happened. Maybe you just see Snow White's feet sticking out. You know, she's out cold from the apple. I don't know. You don't want to be, you know, too scary about it. But yeah, I think, you know, put some more stuff in there. I think that would be cool. It'd be like a smaller, so not quite as involved as that Beauty and the Beast restaurant in the Disney World. But it could be elements, or it could be maybe, we'll say, maybe it can be 65% of that. You know, it'd be
part. I would say it would be a little smaller version of that, but it's also that really cool environment that you're in. It's a little more than just a standard restaurant. And there isn't another walk-up restaurant in Fantasyland, but I think that makes up for it now that Galaxy's Edge has its own walk-up restaurants, and there is two of them. So there's Docking Bay and Food and Ronto's Roaster. So it kind of makes up for the now lack of a walk-up restaurant in Fantasyland. Those are just, you know, hop, skip, and a jump over the railroad track. And I think that would be good for that place. So those are just two ideas to try to bring some of that cool, really immersive stuff into Disneyland from Galaxy's Edge. So this is something that I should have brought up before, but I didn't. Forgot. Sure. It's crowds. And one of the ways to fix the crowd issues, this was a temporary fix that Disney implemented, a backstage like bypass behind Main Street on the right side, and that is the Tomorrowland side of Main Street. So if you enter this backstage bypass, it lets you out just by the little red wagon by Plaza Inn. So that's a way of kind of avoiding the central Main Street when there's a parade or there's fireworks, stuff along those lines. This area is incredibly under-themed, and there was a rumor when this was created, I believe it was on MiceJet way back in the day when they used to do a lot of the rumoring, and the team that was responsible for Buena Vista Street. So, you know, Buena Vista Street, just absolutely incredible themed environment. They were tasked with designing a whole new Main Street for back there. So like a whole area that's designed like kind of the backside of Main Street, back alleys, things along those lines. And you'd walk through there, the shops, instead of just having these blank side buildings, they would be like the backside of shops and things along those lines. I'd love to see them develop that into an actual like unique area that's always open, so you can always use that entrance. And then there would be where the crossroads of Main Street is, there would be a way to go into Tomorrowland from there, so you don't have to go all the way to the hub. So that's just another way of kind of connecting. Now, of course, there is the restaurant that's on the other side of that cross street, and that of course is the Carnation Cafe. We can't really remove that and make a bypass into Adventureland just because that restaurant can't change, in my opinion. But I think having that extra entrance maybe into Tomorrowland could really alleviate some of the crowds that are kind of stuck in around the Astro Orbiter, because that's such a tight entrance into Tomorrowland. But have like that secondary entrance could really alleviate the crowds in that area, and also make like a really fun immersive area for Main Street. I always thought it'd be cool if instead of the shop facades, you have more of the residential area. So that's what, in my mind, when I heard that rumor, I was like, oh, it'd be cool if they turn that area more into residential Main Street style buildings, because Main Street's more of shops and municipal buildings, but there's no residential buildings. So in the backside there, you have residential buildings, and they're unique and have, you know, more windows for honorary, you know, Disney folk.
I hear you. So you don't want to mess around at all with the Carnation Cafe.
Yeah.
But what about like Refreshment Corner? So right before you get to the Jolly Holiday Bakery, now there isn't currently a pass through, but there's got to be a walkway. You know, there is some kind of access thing for cast members. So if you cut through that, pretty soon there's buildings there. So I don't know how they would do this necessarily. And then all of a sudden you know, if you trace that line, it follows through like the tropical hideaway. You're basically on that outside edge of the exit or the, you know, the return to civilization from the jungle. The Jungle Cruise. So you're coming through there. So that could be, you know, that could be a way, because if you look at that's at least that's more plausible than Carnation. Because Carnation, there is nowhere to go if you were to cut through from there. I mean, you're in the middle of the rock. You're in the middle of the jungle. But the other one, there's no way. Nobody can tell me that there's no way there are not people that are passing directly from, you know, one of those backstage doors behind Refreshment Corner all the way through into, you know, right by Tropical Imports. That dips out. It's got to dip out. You got to be able to get through there somehow. Now, that is a lot less. I feel like that's way more unlikely than what you were talking about with, you know, cutting through some of those backstage roads in Tomorrowland. Those are big roads. Those are wide roads. A fire truck could go down there. You know, so whatever they decided to do there, I mean, yeah, I could see that. I could see something happening there.
Yeah, that area right there, I think, would be just because it's that you can, if you look at an aerial map of this area, you can see the walkway. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's very unattractive. And it's disappointing that they didn't kind of go the extra mile, maybe similar to Disneyland Paris, where they did add a walkway behind Main Street to avoid that area when it was raining or when it was overcrowded with parades and firework viewing, and it's like this beautiful area back there, and then Disneyland just has this kind of, I mean, it's good that they have it, but it's just disappointing that they don't have a more detailed area that was more show focused. Like, you could put more shops back there or more, or another restaurant. Maybe you could move Carnation Cafe and Refreshment Corner back there to have more space for the restaurant and then free up those two areas. So they're more like thematic. So maybe you put some old Main Street vehicles back in those streets, like it was, you know, when Disneyland opened. I think there's just so much that they could do back there. And if you look at aerial maps once again of the backstage behind Space Mountain and Main Street, there is a lot of room. There's actually a lot of dead space in the center there that could be reallocated. And Disney's really heavily focused right now on moving backstage things to off-property locations so they can use more of this area.
Well, what about too, you know, like, think about it, like with the restaurants and things like this, like, you know, the Minion Friends Breakfast in the Park opportunity, I think, as far as Disneyland is concerned, does that only take place at the Plaza Inn? Is that the only character dining experience within the park?
It's the only one. Yeah.
Either get rid of it. Just saying. Either get, you know, they can't. So maybe that goes somewhere else. Maybe now that experience, and I feel like they kind of have to keep it on Main Street. They have to keep it sort of by the front. But maybe they can move that over to Jolly Holiday. It becomes a little less of an affair, depending on how popular it is. I guess I don't know. You need to see the numbers, see some of the financials. But that's a big chunk right there that people still have to go around to get into Tomorrowland. Like, what if that goes away? I mean, that's that thing, if I'm thinking like to scale, and I know that there's different levels sometimes with some of the attractions, like that's two-thirds of the area that Star Tours takes up. Maybe a little less than that, you know, maybe a little less than that. Maybe a
that
third.
Is a huge but chunk of land.
It's a massive building, you know, and it's not even so much the building, but like you just said, the thoroughfare, like it. You could save a lot of space. This is where you could put that more immersive ride in there. You know, that you're talking about with Degrassi, he's over there, and then maybe Wally's over here. I don't know.
Take into account that also is a cast member cafeteria.
You know, they'll figure something out. They'll bring their lunch from home,
There's a lot of Walt history in that restaurant. The Plaza Inn has a lot of like silly Walt quotes where he was like, "Hey, let's." Let's get crazy with these decorations.
I can't help. You know, I'm bringing the things up. You know, if I walked in there and I would get the chills, you know, from Walt or whatever, and I wouldn't do anything.
The chills.
It's just something to think about.
It is. But, you know, like this was supposed to be International Street and Edison Avenue, all those different ideas they had back in the day for that area back there. And there really isn't a lot of backstage shenanigans happening there where I think that could be just huge for new attractions. You could even do that walkway back where the little red wagon is and the first aid, like that could eventually like went right into Tomorrowland in that location. You have another bypass from that tight corridor by Astro Orbiter. So in that section over there, one of the main buildings that would probably have to be relocated or changed would be first aid and the Make-A-Wish building. They're all kind of like built into the same structure right there. Those can easily be relocated.
In that, what is that store over there? It's like the Photoshop and stuff. Like, it's the building next to that, though. Or, I mean, it's all one building, but it's the entrance next to that where Make-A-Wish and like the baby care center and all that stuff is next to that.
Yeah, it's all in that one building over there.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. A lot of options, you know, and the other route, which I know that they use for parades, but the one that's at that, what do you call that first thing? So if the hub is up in the front, you know, where, you know, just short of the castle, what's that first thing when you walk in? It's kind of diamond shaped, you know, it's got the little thing in the middle of the statue. And, you know, there used to be some cannons over there. And there's like, you know, that nice little marching band situation there. What is that thing?
You know, I thought it was called Central Plaza, but I'm not 100% sure. Okay, somebody will have to correct us on that.
Yeah, please. So if you're standing in the middle of that thing and then you shoot off to the right where those doors are, a lot of times the characters that take the pictures in that other little alcove kind of by the where Disney, you know, you got that store with all those awesome things for sale in there. You're over there, but you go through those doors. There's those big giant, you know, barn looking doors over there. If you went through there, if they ended up having a pass through at that spot, you'd have a long walk until you got to anything that, you know, it'd be tough to even get into Tomorrowland from there, because you'd basically, I mean, they'd have to do a lot. That's that. There's a lot involved there.
But up a little bit further up where the center street is, that's where it could work as a bypass through there and clean up that area definitely. So, any other closing thoughts on what could be added to Disneyland in the future, what you think is coming to Disneyland in the future now that Star Wars Land is done after all those years of watching it be constructed?
I don't know. You know, I guess like they're so, you know, the IP thing is booming. Maybe it's on its way out a little bit. I've always kind of hoped for a resurgence of original content. Mm-hmm. You know, the original room, you know, Rogan Diaz, like, you know, it's just something that's like original in there that, that, like I said, but you know, I did make the point too that something has to happen outside the park and come in. But that's the whole thing, you know. It doesn't have to be a bought property, or it doesn't have to be something with Pixar. But I'd like to see a resurgence of something somewhat original. You know, I get that most stories are retold, and even all the stuff in Fantasyland. Many of those properties did not originally belong to Disney. They were, you know, other people. But you know, obviously, he's the best person for the job. You know, but they, you know, he made it his own. You know, and you can do that with just about anything. So I would like to see some original stuff in here. The only point that I make again is like that we are so tight for space, but we've also got a lot of wasted. You know, we've got a lot of there's a lot of fat to trim in that park, especially in Tomorrowland. So my thought is, I really like the immersive thing. I think they're going to see how this goes with Galaxy's Edge. You know, it's so specific too. You know, are people going to get tired of that? I don't know. Where the other stuff, you can kind of make up your own story about some of it. And I think we're getting to a point where there's less and less of that. Tony Baxter would agree with me. I know he would. That we're getting to a point where there's less and less like personal involvement in creating the story in your head. You know, you don't even get a choice. It's all drawn out there for you. Then you can go online and read all the fan fiction. Somebody else has got it figured out for you, even if they didn't, you know. So it's just, I don't know. There's not a lot of room for interpretation with a lot of the experiences in the parks right now, especially when it's IP, because it's based on a movie. There's already a story that exists. And there's a part two and a part three and then some kind of thing where they all meet each other and, you know, have a big battle on an island. Like there's so much of that whole thing exists, and that's my problem with IP. I don't have any other problem outside of that. I feel like IP tells the complete story. There's no room for interpretation. There's no room for fun with it. Sometimes. And so, I'm that's the only thing I'm worried about with Galaxy's Edge. Is that. And so if they took that concept and moved it over into Frontierland, let's say they did it for, I'll use a different park just real quick as an example. So Paris, you know, the haunted house over there, David O'Neill, some other guys have talked about this. People get so crazy about that haunted mansion story. And I do too. It's fun. The lure is fun, but people get so crazy about it. And they make up all this stuff. And then, you know, the Imagineers come in or the story writers and stuff. And they're like, dude, that's not what I meant. I just, you know, whatever you want to do with it is fine, but that's not, that wasn't like intended. We didn't plan for that.
Yeah.
That's not what we're hoping. So I'd like to see like more opportunity for people to just come up with whatever the heck they want. I'd like to see some new stuff in here. I'm just, the only thing I'm worried about again with that immersive thing is that it really like silos these experiences. But at the same time, I think that's pretty dope. And I can't really say for sure until we get to Galaxy's Wedge and find out. They have good cheese. They don't. I don't drink the green one. Drink the blue one. Apparently, it's way, way better. I guess that's my two cents.
Yeah, it's that's a good port to end on. I like that. So that's a good point. Also, just one last tidbit. An Imagineer once said that it's far easier to come up with our own ideas than try to remake another idea that is an intellectual property. I thought that was interesting comment.
You know, you've drawn some cool characters over the years. I've seen these pictures you draw. How hard is it to draw Daffy Duck? You try to draw Daffy Duck and he's going to look like a bozo. But if you draw your own character, there's a whole thing. And it's like, there's way more life and there's way more like personality or mood or whatever you want to call it to it. I'm not an artist, but you know, like, but you think about that, like you draw your picture and then you try to copy somebody else's, that tracing or that copy of the other one. I mean, it just looks like a bizarro version. So yeah. That's why, yeah, I totally dig what you're talking about. It makes perfect sense.
Yep. And there we go. So that is life after Star Wars Land. Now that it is open, it's operating. I'm still calling it Star Wars Land, even though it has a proper name. Maybe I'll figure it out eventually. But yeah, any other closing comments before we send it off to another podcast, which is cool. We're on episode 10. We appreciate you guys watching. Hopefully we can get these more regular and some other types of style videos on the channel
too. Our classic line every time is we're going to get them going. Hopefully we do. I'm excited. What do you, just a quick teaser, what do you think we're going to talk about next time?
Well, there's a new attraction coming to Toontown. I didn't want to talk about in this podcast because we have way more to talk about it. So that's a teaser. That's an official thing. There is a new ride coming to Toontown.
Is that Goofy's Revenge? It's like you're here in Earthworm. It's like a worm version of Goofy. It's like a dream sequence. You're digging around and then there's that big mouse, the mozzarella guy or whatever, isn't it? You know, like the guy from Rescue Rangers. No?
Well, you spoiled our next podcast.
in closing, you heard Scar, you talked about the seven dwarfs. Folks at home, in the comments, which one of the seven dwarfs is Scar most like and why? Please.
All right. That's what we want to see in the comments. Which dwarf am I like, I guess?
Don't hold back. Let's hear what we want to hear. We want to hear why. We definitely want to hear why. Okay, that's it for me. I'm excited. I'm excited for the next episode. Thanks, everybody, for sticking with it. If you have any questions, you know, definitely let us know.
And we'll see you later.